Denise, yeah. You know, I'm up in Tawas, Lordstown, and Jackson, but we didn't get much rain. There was no rain here at the cottage yesterday. They did get some the night before, but not as much as you guys got down there.
Yeah.
No, but you know, it is what it is. What it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad people advertise with you because it reminded me while we were waiting to come on that I need an oil change in my car. So
there you go.
Thank you for advertising with WKHM. How's that, Greg?
Scoot right
and
out.
Yours is a Jeep, Laura, so you can go to Extreme and have them do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then there was the oil change place that was on the ad, too.
Hey, Laura, I was talking to Rich Collins the other day at Starbucks, and they moved their offices in town.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. You never told me that.
I am on city council.
Yeah, I know. You never told me. I had a nice conversation with them about it. Where did they move to?
The old Comerica building. I didn't know they'd actually moved in yet, I guess. I haven't paid back for
He said they hadn't moved in, but at any rate, I thought that was kind of good that they had done that they'd moved from the township in the back into the city. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
All right. And the other thing, Greg, that there is not enough time to get done the stuff that I need to get done. Things are just bonkers these days. There's just a lot going on. The courts are now starting to open up for in-person proceedings. Mm-hmm. So things are changing. Although I was reading an article this morning on the Delta Plus variant and the fact that vaccinated people can get this particular variant, which is not particularly encouraging news. So. Anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm not hearing an uptick of people getting sick, though. Are you, Bill?
No, not at all. No, just the article crossed my desk this morning. So.
Got it. Okay.
All right, well, so what's your subject this morning?
I wanted to talk about interest rates on land contracts in general. There's a few people that are looking to do interest rate or land contracts, and believe it or not, even though we have low interest rates out there, there are people who have difficulty getting a mortgage for one reason or another. So it's a good topic to have with a seller in particular. If they are looking for an investment, then maybe they don't have to sell. They don't need the cash to do something with it when they sell their property. Maybe they could do a land contract and make a little bit of revenue off of it. So I thought it would be good to know what our options are for interest rates out there.
Okay, but I got to tell you, there's some initial consider. There are two reasons why somebody would do a land contract. The first one is what you just mentioned, is they can't qualify for a mortgage. And even though interest rates have been at historical lows, The fact is that the qualifying standards have increased. Just because the interest rates are low doesn't mean you're going to get a mortgage. So that's one reason. So that a seller who is interested in selling or anxious to sell or has to sell, whatever it may be, to a buyer who doesn't qualify, okay, let's do a land contract. Although an initial question even before that is, why do a land contract instead of a mortgage? Why don't I just give them a deed and take back a mortgage? That's what I would do, Laura. Michigan is one of the few states that uses land contracts. And the reason that land contracts became popular in this state is because it was an exception to the 7% usury limit. And that usury limit no longer exists for most loans being made by individuals. When you talk about interest rates, and it's the second reason, by the way, that a seller would sell on a land contract is because they do want to get a higher rate of return. They figure, okay, I've got this for investment. I'm earning a pitiful amount on my IRA. I'm earning a pitiful amount on whatever other investment I have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell to somebody and I'm going to charge an interest rate that is economically beneficial to me. I do want to emphasize that if you're going to sell to a buyer, if you're going to sell on a land contract or on a deed taking back a mortgage, it is absolutely vital that you do the appropriate due diligence to verify that that borrower is going to be able to pay the amount that they're promising to pay. And again, historically, what I've seen is you get sellers who are anxious to sell. Buyers come in, they make a low down payment, they make the promise to pay, the interest rate is at a favorable interest rate, but then all of a sudden they go into default. Now the seller is left trying to enforce the land contract or enforce the mortgage. So let's start off with that premise, irrespective of what the terms are going to be.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I called a potential buyer last night, young man who had purchased a house on a land contract. And the guy was saying that the person he purchased it from was if you look at the history of the property, it looks as if the guy is trying to get out of participating in the non-owner-occupied property registration through the city. So he does a land contract, and it looks like he records an immediate foreclosure deed, because it's dated the same day as the land contract sale. And he's done that 3 or 4 times on this one particular property. And then when the guy goes to exercise the right to close on the land contract, the guy told him that it got foreclosed on for property taxes, which was not true at all according to the history of the property. And the person had exercise that foreclosure deed that the person had signed without knowing that they signed it.
I have no idea what a foreclosure deed is, because if at the time of signing a land contract, the lender requires that the borrower sign a deed back to the lender so that they don't have to go through the land contract forfeiture process, the land contract foreclosure process, or the mortgage foreclosure process, that deed is invalid as an illegal or unenforceable attempt to get around the borrower's rights of redemption. I've been through this a couple dozen times over the 49 years I've been in practice. The first one I had was where it was a judge who, before he became a judge, this is back in Washtenaw County in the 1970s, they had a land contract deal, and he had the borrower execute a deed at the closing so that if you went into default, all the judge would have to do is record that deed. The law is very, very clear in Michigan, and in fact derives from the English common law, that any attempt to interfere with the redemption rights of a borrower are unenforceable. I had that huge case up in Marquette in which the bank up there attempted to do it, and we went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals overturned the decisions of 2 circuit court judges who held against my client, and my claim was that the bank had illegally or improperly interfered with the right of redemption. We consider the right of redemption of a land contract borrower or a mortgagor, the person who gave the mortgage, inviolable. In other words, you can't do anything to disrupt or interfere with it. There's actually a cause of action. It's called clogging the equity of redemption, and that was the action that I filed up in Marquette, and I've had to file a couple times over the course of my career. So, I mean, you back up. If you're going to finance a deal, you're going to be stuck with what the statute says. On land contract, you have 2 rights: land contract forfeiture, which is in the district court, and in that one, you all you get is the property back. And you can get rent for the period of time after the entry of judgment until the period of redemption expires. It's land contract forfeiture is less expensive, it's faster, but you can't get a judgment against the borrower for the balance which is owed. You simply get the property back. If you do a land contract foreclosure, there you actually have a foreclosure sale and you can get a deficiency judgment. But it's more expensive, takes longer. But I almost always, again, depending on circumstances, I shouldn't say always, but you have to look at what the circumstances are. But going back to your interest rate, you're probably going to see more. You know what? I can't even get to that, because a seller who wants to finance a buyer's purchase of the property on land contract or even on a mortgage, you have to look at the underlying mortgage. If the seller has a mortgage on the property, I can virtually guarantee that that mortgage has what's known as a due on sale clause, which says that if the seller sells that property without getting the consent of the lender to the sale, then that sale triggers a foreclosure of the mortgage. It's a default in the mortgage. So you can, and we actually have a due on sale act that says that the seller can't take measures to keep that hidden from the lender. And it also provides for penalties against anyone who assists a seller in evading the force and effect of a due on sale clause, which would include realtors and attorneys. So you have to be very careful. And, you know, how many sellers have a property free and clear that isn't subject to a mortgage? There aren't a lot. So the seller, if the seller's going to sell without paying off the underlying mortgage, and they're not going to be able to because they're not getting proceeds from a buyer sufficient to pay it off, you have to contact the lender, see if the lender will consent. Most lenders on residential deals are not going to consent. In commercial deals, we have some measure of success sometimes. Again, it depends upon what the mortgage rate of interest is compared to the market rate of interest. If the mortgage rate of interest is higher than the current market, then you stand a chance of getting it approved. If the mortgage interest rates, current rates are higher than what the mortgage interest rate is on the seller's mortgage, then it's going to be unlikely they'll agree to it.
Yeah, so if I is so did you say there is no limit on how much I could charge though on a land contract?
No, I didn't say that at all. We haven't even talked about that. And on a land contract, the general limit is 11%, but if the loan is it's either $100,000 or more than $100,000, and it's non-residential property, then I can go up to, I think, 25% on that. The criminal usury rate is 25%. There are a couple exceptions to the criminal usury rate, but if you're agreeing to pay 25% on something other than a credit card, there's something wrong with you, particularly in light of what current interest rates are. But let me just tell you the way interest rates work in this state. The interest rate, the general rate of interest in this state is 6%. It's either 5% or 6%. In other words, if I borrow $1,000 from you and we have an oral agreement that I will pay you back, the limit is either 5% or 6% on an oral agreement. However, if it is in writing, if we do the loan in writing, just a personal loan, you can charge me up to 7%. That's where we start. In terms of usury, any exception from, and that's by statute, any exception to the 5 or 6% rate has to come from either state or federal statute. And so you look at what the statutes are, and there's a statute that says land contracts 11%, it's 100 grand or more non-residential, it's either 15 or 25%. If it's an LLC, it's 25%. That's the criminal usury. If it's a partnership, 25%. If it's not a corporation, if it's just an individual borrowing from somebody else, but it's for a business purpose, there's a statute that says the buyer can, the purchaser or the borrower can sign an affidavit that says it's for a business purpose, in which case it's up to 15%. If I'm selling my personal residence to a buyer on land contract and I don't have an underlying mortgage, in other words, the land contract constitutes a first lien on the property, federal law says I can charge any rate of interest, even above 25%. There are all of these different rates of interest that are provided by statute. So that if you are a seller selling real estate, you're going to do it on land contract or on a mortgage, you need to check with a lawyer to make certain that the rate of interest you are charging is a permissible rate of interest if it's anything over 11%. Up to 11%, I'm comfortable on any land contract. And then always keep in mind, you can't have the borrower sign a quitclaim deed back to the seller that the seller either holds on to or records. That's not permissible.
So what happens to this person that Because I'm looking at the record of this one particular property, and this person bought it as a foreclosure from HUD in 2011, turned around and sold it on a land contract to someone for $36,000, and got a quick claim deed back from them a year later, so that was clearly a lease. Sold it again to someone else for $37,000, and exactly a year later got it back on a quitclaim deed, so clearly a lease. And then,
okay, guys, stop. When you say they got it back on a quick claim deed, what date is the quick claim deed? See, what happens is the quick claim deed gets executed at the time of the land contract closing. Land contract seller holds on to it and then records it at a later date. That's an invalid interference with the equity or redemption. But this sounds clearly like it might be. Again, I'd want to know more about the particulars, but I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying in general. And so then he sold it again to the gentleman I talked to on a land contract, and the city records show it unrecorded, the land contract. So I suspect he did that in 2014, but immediately filed what it says terms of sale foreclosure, quick claim deed. And then in 21, sold it to someone else who then turned around and sold it on a quick claim deed to someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I wouldn't want to make any judgment as to what's going on. I'd want to, you know, if the city believes that they're trying to get around the non-owner-occupied ordinance, that's up to the city to investigate and determine.
Well, I think, and I agree with that. But I think in this instance, the first few people that he sold it to on a land contract then got a quick claim deed. You know, those people didn't really want to buy the house, but this third person he did it to, the person really wanted to buy the house.
Laura, you're making judgments without knowing all the facts.
I know that's true because I talked to this person, and this person's going after him, but I just, you know, it's clearly, the point, moral of the story is if you're going to do a land contract with someone, you got to know what your interest rates are that you can charge, and two, what can you do about these? You know, can you file a quick claim deed? Can you have a foreclosure deed? And you said no, so I thought, you know, and this is just coincidental because I just talked to this person last night on the phone, and I had this topic on my list from a few weeks ago. So.
Yeah, I'll go back to the starting point, which is if you're contemplating selling property on a land contract or a deed, taking back a mortgage, the most important thing you can do is investigate the creditworthiness of the borrower. And then second of all, one of the best ways to ensure you get paid is to have a large enough down payment so that the buyer, you know, if you have a low down payment, the buyer's says, okay, I'm only going to lose $1,000 or $2,000. I've lived here for a year. I've been making the payments, but now I'm not going to make the payments. I'm going to let the seller foreclose or forfeit. I'm still going to live here without paying. If it's forfeiture, I'm going to be here for probably close to 180 days without paying anything. If it's foreclosure, it's going to be 9 months to a year without making any payments, and I don't care, and I'm not collectible, and therefore the seller's left holding the bag. So two things, determine the creditworthiness through an adequate service, credit check, TLO, whatever it may be, and then second of all, get a sufficient down payment and make certain that you have a well-drafted land contract or a well-drafted mortgage. You know, banks aren't stupid. They've got mortgage forms that are excellent. I've seen some pretty abysmal land contract forms.
Yeah, well, interesting. I think it's time to talk about what properties are for sale. And if anybody wants us to talk anything specific about any questions, don't hesitate to email us or call us. And the email address is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at 780-3800.com. And, of course, my cell phone is 734-660-4260. But I have a new listing at 2409 Dawn Street, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. It is on a crawl with a one-car detached garage. It is a cute little house. It needs a little bit of updating, but not much. And it is listed for $125,000. So nice little neighborhood, nice little price. 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. I also have 777 Bloomfield Boulevard. Beautiful 4 bedroom, 4.5 bath, 4 fireplaces, waterfall in the back yard. Just a lot of details with this house. Daylight windows in the lower level. It is an amazing piece of property that's listed for $390,000. And again, it's in a dead-end block with a boulevard down the middle of it. It's just a beautiful little neighborhood. Then we have 600 Royal. That's a two-bedroom, one-bath house, just under 750 square feet. It's in Blackman Township, and that's listed for $106,000. The seller is motivated on that one, so take a look. We have vacant land out at Skiff Lake, just under 8 acres for $299,000, and there's 250 feet of frontage, 750-foot boardwalk, 7-foot wide that you can drive on, and there is a boat launch. It's a beautiful piece of property. 609 West Michigan Avenue is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. There's a mother-in-law suite. Again, this is one of those houses that there's not enough words that can describe the quality of this property. It's got an amazing backyard, very private despite the fact it's on Michigan Avenue. It is zoned R4 right there, and that one's listed for $450,000. So you can live in it. You could use it as an office. There's a lot of different things you could do with that property. Then we have 624 St. Clair, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. That one's reduced to $179,900. Again, that's a great house with main floor bedroom, bathroom, and laundry, large fenced in backyard, large garage. If you are looking to buy or sell, you're thinking of buying or selling, you should be thinking real estate. Call Laura Dwyer-Schlechte at 780-3800.